Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Filled with awe and fright, see Jurassic Right. Bathe in amber light, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Park.
When, what was it? After Fallen Kingdom came out, because there was like a Lego Blue, like there's a bunch of like Lego Blue statues that were everywhere. And so afterwards, like one of them, they're like, we don't know what to do with this. So they just gave it to like a random Halloween, like discount toy store right next to a Hobby Lobby. But it was like so sad. I'm like,
yeah,
people would kill to have this blue statue and they're just literally throwing it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so sad.
Yeah. How big was it?
Oh, I mean, it was
Cam and I registered for, before we got married, registered for a T-Rex statue. It was $15,000, but we put it on our registry just in case somebody.
Felt really nice.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No one got it for us. Nope.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. It's like the life size statue.
I love that idea that like, let's put some just like fun, fuck it gifts.
We did get a T-Rex mini statue that was also on a registry and somebody did get that for us.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
My bedroom.
Well, thank you again for chatting with me today. There's no introduction on this one.
Yeah.
Murderinos. She's your favorite artist and mine. It's Abigail Irvin Penner. So you got the T-Rex. Wait, did you... Was your wedding any dinosaur themed at all, or is it just the accoutrement here and there?
I flirted with the idea of having like more Jurassic Park theme in it. My matron of honor, she threw me a Jurassic Park themed bridal shower.
Okay.
So that was really cool as a surprise. But then like everything on the actual wedding day that was Jurassic Park was a complete surprise to me, and it was just perfect. Like my cousins dressed up in those inflatable dinosaur costumes.
Yeah.
But they are little, so they're velociraptors instead of T-Rex.
Aww.
And they, like, when we were going into the reception, they just, like, ran with us. And I had, like, the song picked out for when we walked in, which was, I love the song I picked out, but my friend decided to play the Jurassic Park theme song instead. So, which is, I mean, it was even better because, like, my cousins were there and I wasn't expecting it. So it was, like, a sweet little Dinosaur Surprise.
Was it the original or was it like a remix or something?
No, it was the original.
Okay. Because I feel like I've been toying with that idea of like the way that you could play other versions. Like, you know, like a ska cover.
The melodica version.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, we're recording this after I went to the bowl and saw it with a live orchestra. And there was a split second where it like, and it kind of sucks in a way, but like, you know, the reveal of the Brachiosaur and everything, that's still like just tears, you know? But then there was a split second where I was like, where they're doing it and had it there. I was like, what if they did that to
nothing
like.
Nothing makes me laugh harder.
I was like, what if they did that to punk everybody at the Hollywood Bowl? Like,
oh
where it's, you know, they got the full orchestra and everything. And then it's like, then you just see the like person come up with a melodica. And
oh my gosh. That would be, I mean, I don't know. I would be very pleased, but I'm sure there'd be plenty of people who would be angry.
Have you ever seen the person who screams the Universal logo music?
No, but I've seen the Ralphie version of it from The Simpsons. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I haven't seen the screaming one. I've seen the melodica version.
Because to me, the Universal, like, da-na-na, like that to me is just as much part of like Jurassic Park for me as much as the rest of it. But I'm just going to play this here right now and I'll just mark the time so we don't get sued. But... I don't know why that, like, if I'm ever feeling bad, I will listen to that.
Yeah.
And that'll make
that's
me feel.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how much, like, even the jokey versions are make me happy. Mm-hmm. I guess even, yeah, if they did punk me with the melodica version, I would still, like, yeah, it is so funny that I think I would still like it either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I really hoping because I know somebody that had a banjo player at their wedding, but I would have loved to. I don't feel like there's like a banjo cover of the Jurassic Park.
No,
theme.
That'd be great.
Like, I feel like you could really go to town with that.
That would be really cool.
And but they just stuck with the iconic one for the reception.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, he marked the time, too, because like the one that's on Spotify is like. Starts with the da-da.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to mark, like, the time to where it's...
Scrambling.
Yeah. Well, he found it. I think he consulted with me before actually going down. He's like, hey, can I play the Jurassic Park theme song for you? And I was like, of course you can.
Yeah.
He was our DJ, but he's also, like, one of my best friends. And he's like, I know you're going to like this, but I just have to ask you where I should start the music. Okay.
That's a really good point, you know, because there is various, I mean, there's also like kind of different sort of iconic themes and variations and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, you could, you know, what if he starts playing like the Velociraptor stuff, you know, that's not wedding appropriate. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the.
No, it's like the greeting of the Brachiosaurus.
Well, I mean, first of all, I should mention that you did the cover art for season 2 of Sea Jurassic Right, which I've been so delighted with because it just was, you know, again, it's weird because there's not too many podcasts where you have the opportunity to like change the cover. Like it seemed like a natural point to change the cover where it's like most people, I mean, there's not too many podcasts that change their cover unless they get like a new host. But yeah, I just I feel like everybody loves your cover because it's like it captures such the like whimsical spirit of Jurassic Park, which I feel like growing up for me, the sort of bro-y military jungle kind of thing, I never really, that's not what Jurassic Park was to me growing up. So
definitely.
I don't know if like that spoke to you in any way, like more of the like dinosaurs and feelings kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I also, I don't know, like I've always had that connection to like the Brachiosaurus and the long neck ones, which I don't know. I think for me when I was designing, it's different than the original design I pitched to you too.
Yeah.
But I was just messing with it. And this always happens where I like have this very professional idea, but then I'm like, they're asking me for my art. What would I do if I was just having fun? Oh. And then it's like, what's my favorite part about the Jurassic Park logo? How can I make that different so it's not like copywriting or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like you always talk about how that scene makes you weep.
Yeah.
So it's like, this makes sense.
I talk about it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's, I really love that idea of like not letting somebody wants you to do something or like if you're working for somebody or you're commissioned for something. Yeah. It's not doing what they want. It's somebody, hopefully like if somebody is wanting something from you, because of your creativity, it's because of
not trying to force you to do something that you don't want to do. It's just being like, yeah, I want it in your style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, and also I think for me, I was like realizing it afterwards too. Like when I first started SJR, like I'm from like when I went to film school, it was like, don't use copyrighted music. Like you have to make everything yourself. Like, so you own it. And like that idea, you're not just like taking things and, you know, like, I mean, I really like what a lot of other Jurassic Park podcasts do. I mean, Jurassic Park podcast, you know, Brad and does all these like really great audio montages of like stuff from the movies. But for me, I really wanted to kind of set myself apart from like using copyright material and stuff. Yeah. So in a way, like I was like, I didn't even want to use like even that like logo look or anything. But then I think coming back for season two, I was like, well, now people know what this is. And but it's like in a way when you did the design that is now, it's like, oh, it's you could from far away. You're like, this Jurassic is Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But then you're like, wait, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah. And I felt that was kind of what I was going for.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. Yeah. And, but I mean, you've drawn other Jurassic Park stuff too, which I feel like just because I want to hear your Jurassic Park origin story. But before we get into that, we were just saying before, like, I feel like, I mean, obviously Samuel Jackson is one of the biggest stars on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been rewatching the early like Avengers movies and Captain America stuff. So he's so good in all those. But it's like, I keep forgetting that he's in Jurassic Park. Yeah. Like, I know it's Samuel Jackson, but I keep forgetting it's the Samuel Jackson that we know and love today.
Yeah. Well, even then, like, it feels like the reason is because he's not on it for very long.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in that many scenes, but he's so important to the whole movie. Like, the whole Velociraptor aftermath, because, like, he's the one that was supposed to save everyone.
Yeah.
And then he didn't.
Yeah.
So then everybody else is in peril, so... Yeah, he's always been one of my favorites from when I started binging Jurassic Park. He and Muldoon, they're underrepresented, I think.
Well, and I feel love them. Yeah, no, you're right. I feel like Sam Jackson, especially his character, is really underrepresented in the like
the fan culture.
Yeah. No, exactly. I feel like Muldoon, it's like, all right, we know you're High Sox. We know you're a clever girl.
Yeah.
But Sam Jackson, it's like,
hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
And everyone says that now. Like, do you even know what you're referencing?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know. It's funny. Last night, the favorite, like when he came on, though, everyone like was like, wow, on your butts. You know,
good.
So that was really good. That was really awesome. But yeah, it's like he's such an interesting character because it's like you can tell that it's almost like he doesn't have an ego in this game. He's just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, Nedry is just being the slime ball that he is. Mm. Hammond's like just full of delusions and dreams. The Woo in Jurassic World, it's like he's starting to turn into like a mad scientist. But like from the very first scene he's in Jurassic Park, he's like,
absolutely.
He's just like, oh, it's really not that difficult. You know, like he's very smug. Yeah. No, and it's like, and I wonder if maybe now having Fallen Kingdom in Jurassic World, we kind of like read more into it. But if anything, then that makes it. Then it's like perfect because then it actually reads as like a continuity.
Yeah.
But then, and then Muldoon, like he kind of, it's like he's almost like a mix of like he was complaining and he did care, but now he's just kind of like held the line where it's like Arnold is just like, man, we're just trying to get through another day.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He's just doing his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this is part of my origin story or not, but. When I was a kid, I was really into like gore and stuff. It's just always, I have brothers and we played with boys all the time. So the part when Ellie Sattler just has his arm, I loved that scene when I was a kid. And it's so wrong, but it was always like one of my favorite scenes. And when I was a kid, I was like, I don't know whose arm that is. I don't know who Arnold is.
Yeah.
But then like when you're older and you can recognize like, oh, that's the guy from the beginning. Oh, that's Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, that character is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And now in a lot of movies, it's almost like everybody has to be eulogized in a way, but it's like, why would, I mean, there could probably be a scene where Hammond is like, oh, Arnold, he was a good, you know, Ray was a good guy. But like, why would the other characters care about that? They don't know him. Like,
yeah, he's just the tech guy.
Yeah.
One of them.
That's like if you went to like an office, if you had like a job interview somewhere and then like the front desk person fucked off and got died or whatever, you'd be like, well, that's sad because that's a person that died.
Yeah.
But like you're not going to you're not gonna, you don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. He's also just so good in that movie to me. Like the way he talks about code and DNA, or he doesn't talk about DNA. He talks about code, and I always associated it with DNA because it's like about 2 million.
Well, yeah, because in the scene with Mr. DNA showing the lines. Yeah. So no, I definitely think they were making those parallels. Mm-hmm. But I think to kind of just keep that thread going of like, that's why I think I really like your art of him, because I'm like, oh, nobody draws him.
Yeah.
Nobody kind of pours one out for him. And I feel like
it's great.
Even more than just doing his job, it's almost like it's almost that, like, where you have the crazy boss and you have to, like, you kind of have to be the babysitter. I feel like he is almost kind of like a babysitter for a lot of these, like, clashing personalities in the office.
Yeah, well, and without Nidri, too, he's the only one that technically knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So he has to be the one that goes to flip the switch, you know?
Yeah.
No, nobody else knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So it is almost scary in the movie, if, like, when, especially that idea of like him and Muldoon dying, then it's like literally just Hammond.
Yeah.
And it's like Hammond's the boss. Like, he doesn't know what's going on.
He has no idea what's going on.
He can't even read a schematic.
No. Yeah. No, he's one of my favorites.
I thought that was so cool. And also, it's like that Spielberg thing. He knows how to like infuse such personality with such short amount of screen time, where it's like Sam Jackson, he's hold on your butts. Like, that's such a weird thing to say. Yeah. Like, and then to have, like, he always has a cigarette in his mouth and he's just like talking.
Like, that's his character.
Cause you can tell that he's probably like doing lines of code all day. Mm-hmm. And so doing all the programming and stuff. And so he just has to keep, you know, he's not going to take the cigarette out of his mouth while he's, you know, he's got to use both hands.
Yeah. So. Well, his whole, I never think about it. I mean, I do. I've always he's always been one of my favorite characters, but it, like, the amount of time that he's on screen and you can like gather almost his entire personality. Like, you can tell how he feels about Hammond, how he feels about the situation with the storm and everything, how he feels about Nidri, like complete slob, you know, like he shoves all of his stuff off of his desk and everything. It's just like the amount of time that he's in it, you know who he is.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I know. It just makes me like, the character in the book is like, it's just more of that. Mm-hmm. Like, which is actually shows how good Spielberg. Yeah. But it just shows how good Spielberg is, where it's like the character is like a lot more in the book, kind of a similar fate or whatever. But it's like he was able to distill it into those And then like when watching the scene in last night, where like Nidri is like just talking about, you know, anybody want a soda or something? So he's like talking forever. And like, I never realized it, but there's this like close up shot of Sam Jackson just like, ugh, like rolling his eyes. I'm like, why isn't that a GIF? Like, why isn't that in our like stockpile of GIFs? I need to do that.
No, that's a good idea.
It's like, I feel like, because it's so separate, like Sam Jackson, the star, and then this part. I wonder if, did you see Captain Marvel?
I'm not a huge Marvel movie fan right now. I know I need to see that one. I've heard really good things. I got like burnt out 2 years ago. So I'm getting back.
I only mentioned Captain Marvel because it takes place, I think, in 94, 95. Mm-hmm. Like, it's set in the past. Yeah. So they de-aged Sam Jackson. And I wonder if they used like Jurassic Park and like Pulp Fiction as like references, because those movies were kind of around that time. Because I know that like when they've de-aged other characters, they've like looked at movies from those times.
Makes sense.
I just love that idea of like, you see all these animators like watching Jurassic Park, like, okay, we got to like de-age Sam Jackson. So he's kind of got the hairline and like, it's because he like looks amazing even now.
Yeah. But, he looks almost the same.
Yeah. No, I think he just shaves his head on purpose, you know, but this is the most we've talked about that character on this podcast. So this makes me so happy.
Yes.
But I want to know your Jurassic Park origin story, because you mentioned something about seeing the movie specifically 275 times.
Well, it's probably 300 at this point. Yeah, I watch it when I'm sad. Mostly.
So you've been sad 300 times.
Oh, at least. Well, the first experience that I remember with Jurassic Park 3 or Jurassic Park is Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I assume that I saw the other two movies first because my parents are... they're really funny. They like don't let us watch things that are bad. Like, they'll let us watch Simpsons, but my parents don't like Family Guy. Like, they don't think it's as funny. So they won't let us watch. They wouldn't let us watch Family Guy.
Oh, like
when we
quality
were kids.
Bad.
Yeah. And not that Family Guy is bad quality. I don't want to like hurt anybody's feelings, but my parents
Seth
didn't
MacFarlane
like it.
Does listen to this podcast.
Uh-oh. he has no idea who I am. But like, so Jurassic Park 3, they wouldn't have let us watch that movie without us at least seeing the other two first. But I was only 9 when I saw Jurassic Park 3. Okay. So I don't really remember the first time seeing the other two. I always combined them in my head together, like, I want to watch Jurassic Park. And then I was like, when did they get to San Francisco or San Diego? Like, when do I see the dinosaur by the pool? And my dad's like, no, that's the second one. So the first one I remember is Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, wow.
And I loved it. I was like, this is gory and scary and, like, great. So I have a very soft spot for Jurassic Park 3. I know what it is. I know what it is now. But then, like, when I got older, I would get sick a lot. Like, I have chronic illness. And so I'd have to stay home from school. And every time I stayed home from school when I was a kid, I would watch the Jurassic Park trilogy.
Oh, wow.
So
all three in one day?
All three, yeah.
Yes.
If not all three, then I would pick and choose, like, which one or two I'm going to watch. But it was kind of easy to keep track at that point. So elementary school, couldn't really keep track that much because I don't remember how many times I was sick in elementary school. But junior high and high school, my school did this thing where if you're sick 5 days out of the quarter, so we go by quarter, not semester, but if you're sick 5 days out of the semester, then you have to stay for the last day of, or the quarter. You have to stay for the last day. If you're gone less than 4 days, then you get the last day off.
Oh, nice.
And I always had to stay because I was always sick or, like, just too anxious to go to school or something.
Yeah.
So I, like, knew that I had watched it at least 5 times every quarter.
Wow.
So then there were some semesters or, like, some quarters that I remember very clearly because I was, like, really sick my junior year and senior year of high school. So I remember, like, I know that I was gone like 10 times this quarter.
Yeah.
So I know that I watched it at least 10 times.
Oh, wow.
And then in college, I just started watching it like 1 to 2 times a month.
Yeah.
Just for fun. And then now I only watch it when I'm like sad or anxious because it's about the only thing that like calms me down because sure. I just can like veg out and don't have to think about anything. So, I mean, it's maybe less than twice a month now. I would say once every 1 to 2 months, but... it's easier to keep track now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and it is that thing of when you've seen a movie so many times, it's like, not that you take it for granted, but it's just kind of in your way, in a way, you know, like, which is like, again, why sometimes I feel like a lot of people, it's like, oh, like, it's my favorite thing. So like, why wouldn't you go see it on the big screen? Why wouldn't you see it with the Hollywood Bowl or whatever? But it's never really my first instinct to go to that, to go see it, that stuff. It's like, oh, I've seen it hundreds of times. Why would I want to go pay to see it this way or whatever?
Yeah, I would love to see it in theaters.
Oh, you've never? Yeah,
I've never. Because I was born in 95.
Oh, okay.
So, too young. And then the 25th anniversary, they did screen it at the theater in Lincoln, but I think I was gone. I think I was here in California, so I didn't see it. I should have seen it here, but
yeah. Well, I'm trying to do more stuff like that because I would like, it's just stuff I would never think about to do. And then it's like, I mean, I think partially because of this podcast, it's like, oh, I should go to this thing.
Yeah.
I should like,
yeah,
it's a reason to celebrate the thing that you like and kind of, and also for me, see it in a new context where it's like, I'm paying attention to it differently because I'm not like on my couch, just like, or like having it on in the background or whatever.
Yeah. You notice things more when you're watching it intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like that you like kind of combine them all together because I feel like for me, and I feel like that's maybe specifically to kind of like our generation that grew up with movies and reruns on TV because I feel like for me, the original Star Wars trilogy was like that where it was like the Ewoks and Obi-Wan and what's happening and when's Yoda, you know? I know. Wouldn't that be so you should do like a remix of Jurassic Park where it just features like all the favorite scenes.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be so much fun.
It would basically be Jurassic Park with like a little bit of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think there's any scenes I would cut from the original. Like,
no.
What's the scene you don't like from the original Jurassic Park? I don't know if I could say a scene that I don't like in the original.
No, movie. I mean, there's scenes that make me angry, but it's because of the characters are being dumb.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but I love all of it. There is one part, and it's not even a scene. It's just like when they're driving, like when Tim and Lex, they're all in their Jeeps and they're like going to start the tour. And they're like driving towards the gate and Lex has this line that just drives me insane. And she says, you think we're going to hit that? Like, no, dude, it's a gate.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only part that I'm like, yeah, you're old enough to know better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lex.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I could pick a scene where I'm like, or at least like pick a scene that I would say is like inessential or whatever.
Yes. No, it's all like part of it.
Yeah. People want director's cuts or deleted scenes mm-hmm. or anything. It's just like, I mean, I would want to see it just because I'm curious.
Yeah. I like watching those separately too. Like I want to see what could have been and then imagine how it would have been in the movie.
Yeah.
Not necessarily see it all together.
Were there things from the other two movies that you really liked just as much as the original movie?
Yeah. I think when I was younger, especially, like, I thought The Lost World was just as good as the original.
Yeah.
As an adult, now I think, like, the original is just, it's just good. It's so good. But I still love The Lost World so much.
Yeah.
I still think it's, like, a great movie. There's corny parts. I don't know. I still, like, I love Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Huge girl crush. I think she's a great character. She's probably my favorite female character in, like, Jurassic Park. The third one, I just think it's charming. I don't know.
Right?
It's just, like, it's just low stress. I mean, I don't know. It's not a low stress for them situation, but, like, nothing really happens in that movie. So yeah. It's not, like,
well, you know. It's almost more of, like, our sentiment. It's
like Alan, we wanted Dr. Grant back, so they gave us Dr. Grant.
Yeah, and but they also made him like grumpy and tired of everyone's shit mm-hmm. and like that,
which I relate to.
Yeah. I think that sentimentality is like a very, it's kind of a present
mm-hmm.
comedic notion now, and so watching somebody who has to go through this stuff, who doesn't want to be here and is just tired of everybody, like that's so relatable.
Yeah.
It's just like anybody. It's just like, oh, I'm at the office and everyone's a bunch of knuckleheads and I'm the one and I'm stuck here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Jurassic Park 3 is kind of like, was kind of ahead of its time in that kind of way.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
I can't say that I think there was a period of time where so it was like my first love of Jurassic Park. And then I got older and I was like, this one's not as good as the other ones. Like, kind of boring. What is Billy doing? Like, didn't understand. And I just, like, I knew that it technically, because my dad would make fun of it all the time while we were watching it. And so would my brothers. And then I was like, oh, they're right. But then when I lived by myself and I could just do whatever I wanted, I just rekindled the, you know what? I'm going to not shame myself for liking this movie.
I want to be an astronomer, but I'm an astronaut, you know, or whatever. Like, you're like Alan, you know? Like,
but I am that velociraptor on the plane, yeah.
Look, it's the only Jurassic Park movie with a dream sequence, you know? So
yeah.
And it's the first Jurassic Park movie with a flashback as well.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Because everyone's like, oh, Fallen Kingdom, you know, with the raptor squad, mm-hmm. like the camera footage or whatever. But it's like JP3 had the... It's so funny. So I can't remember their name right now, but somebody wrote in on the last minisode. What bugged me as a kid was the moment when Billy takes like the D batteries from a flashlight and puts them in a camcorder. And it's just like, that wouldn't happen. And I just love
I have never noticed that.
I just love the idea that that ruins the movie for somebody.
I think the only, the T. Leone was kind of annoying to me growing up, but then I like grew to love her.
Yeah.
Tay Leone, T. Leone. I don't know. My mom calls her one thing. My aunts call her another. So.
Alleles. No. yeah. Well, I feel like, yeah, too. I think, you know, Tay Leone's like, why are we shitting on her for like wanting to rescue her kid?
Yeah.
She's like willing to fight tooth and nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get her kid back. I feel like that's pretty admirable quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not just like.
She gets flown in the face by a skeleton. And she still is like, we still have to find him.
Yeah.
Even though this guy is dead, like he could be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She literally kidnaps a scientist to get her and pretends to be like a wealthy, like, I mean, it's.
Yeah. And she survives the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which it's is like, even greater.
It's like an Ocean's 11 situation. It's like a heist, but to steal Grant or to steal eggs.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Growing up as a kid, were you always like a big, like Jurassic Park is like one of my things?
I don't think so. I mostly drew when I was a kid. So I remember liking the movies, and I remember doing whatever my older brother did, and he was super into dinosaurs, and I tried to like learn all the dinosaurs with him, but Ian's really brainy and really smart, and he just memorizes things, and I'm not that way. And so I think I just got bored with learning. So it took me until like recently to like learn dinosaur names and actually be like a dinosaur person versus like a Jurassic Park person.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the two go hand in hand, but I will also say for myself, I like dinosaurs and I like different kinds of dinosaurs, but I'm not like that nerdy about it in a way.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to like the cross section of the two.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like, you know, it's movie magic. Like the Dilophosaurus, doesn't spit, but like, who cares? It's like cool for the movie.
Yeah.
And I understand that like Jurassic Park has an educational element to it, but
it's a movie.
I mean, there's a really great Common Descent podcast episode where it's like two paleontologists being like, what is the responsibility of a movie? Like a movie shouldn't be the thing that is like your end all be all for education about dinosaurs. It's merely a tool to inspire you to go and learn yourself, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It was like a big thing in my house.
That's cool.
I do know that. My parents are very picky with movies, so.
And then because then, you know, it's like 14 years before Jurassic World. Were you excited for it at all? Or was like Jurassic kind of part of your childhood? And then it's like, yeah, this new movie is like.
No, I was super excited. I had like 4 or 5 people that wanted to take me to the first viewing. And I let all of them believe that they were the first. I don't think any of them know who actually took me first. So it's still secret. But I went to the first viewing 5 times.
That's hilarious.
It was, yeah. And the first time I saw it, I was really disappointed.
Sure.
And then I had to go 4 more times. But I mean, watching it that many times, like, kind of helped me not just be grumpy about it.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I mean, I genuinely love Fallen Kingdom, but at the same time, just because of doing this podcast and stuff, I ended up seeing it eight times within like less than a month.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't watch it for like almost like 6 months after because I was just like, I'm good.
That's
like, I love this movie, but like, that's a lot to watch in a short amount of time. Like, part of the fun of watching a movie, I feel like, is like the time to process it and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then I really didn't like the Fallen Kingdom. Yeah. When the like the trailers were coming out, I just like, they didn't excite me. And I think it was just because I'm so annoying. It's like, I don't know why I'm the way that I am, but I am the way that I am, where like, I didn't like this movie, so I'm not going to like the new one.
Yeah.
And then, but of course I was like, I'm still going to go. So, I accidentally went on opening night.
Oh.
But again, I was like, kind of, I don't know. I'm really bad at movie theaters. I don't like going to movie theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause I'm too judgmental for no reason. I have no film background, but I'm still like super judgmental. So it took me like watching it at home by myself where I could like internalize and like not just be judging everything for me to be like, oh, this movie's not bad.
Interesting. I feel like I'm the opposite, where when I'm at home, it's like I have all the distractions, I have all the like things, and then I'm not really like paying attention to the movie, whereas in the theater, it's like a roller coaster, like I'm sort of whisked away into a thing, but I could see that where it's almost like if you go to a comedy show and you're like only like one of like 4 or 5 people in the audience, it's like you're kind of forced to laugh because it's so awkward. And maybe that's like a theater experience where it's like, we're all here, so I better enjoy this. And you're like, no, I don't want to enjoy it. Like, I don't like,
that's how I felt going into Fallen Kingdom. I was dead set on like, I'm not going to like this, but I'm going to give it a chance, which of course is like, I'm not giving it a chance because I already decided that I'm not going to like it.
Well, and to be fair, too, like, I feel like for people who didn't necessarily like Jurassic World, what would make you excited for, you know, like, it's like, I think that's why back in the day, I mean, you know, we've people have gone back with the Star Wars prequels and it's like, oh yeah, Revenge of the Sith kind of sucks, but it's because Attack of the Clones was so bad, it could only be better.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think with Jurassic World, it didn't necessarily, at least for me, I really like it a lot less now. It actually might be my least favorite Jurassic movie right now. But like, yeah, it's weird how it plays with your expectations a little bit. But for me, it's like, I like Jurassic World, but it could only get better from there.
Yeah.
And that kind of sense.
Yeah. And like rewatching them at home, like I always talk when I'm talking to Cam about it, I made a pros and cons list for new movies. Yeah. Because I just keep telling people like, I don't like the new ones. Like I'm a diehard original, like the trilogy, but then I keep watching them at home to see like, why don't I like this? And then I keep renting it. And Cam was like, Abby, just buy them. You're going to keep watching them no matter what you say. Even though I pick it, I made a pro and con list.
So. Wait, really? What are some pros and cons?
Pro, I think Claire, like being a lead, I like that there's another female lead. I wasn't huge on her at first, but I think that she gets cooler. Like the second movie, she's really cool in that one.
Yeah.
Didn't like her that much in Jurassic World. I wish that Owen was played by Jason Clarke. I can't take Chris Pratt seriously ever. It's my fault, right?
My God. Yeah. You know what's so funny? You just blew my mind right now because you love all of them, or, you know, you love the original trilogy despite the flaws and everything. You're invested in having like a particular opinion about, and you can kind of like, depending on who you're talking to, you're like, well, no, let me explain it to you this way, why it's good or why it's bad.
Yeah.
And for me, my biggest complaint about Jurassic World originally was that I just think Chris Pratt was miscast.
Yes.
I think it's almost like the main characters in Jurassic World are too good looking or something.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that says about me, but I almost think that like the character of Owen is a lot weirder and meaner and
it's more just not socially a Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. And so I especially think in Jurassic World, I don't think they really played to Chris Pratt's strengths. I think in Fallen Kingdom, they kind of like shifted the character a little bit to fit more of what Chris Pratt is, what he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been thinking like, who would be the perfect
Jason Clarke.
Owen Grady that wasn't Chris Pratt? It's like in Jason Clarke is still good looking and stuff, but
yeah, he's kind of a badass,
but he's got a little bit more of like
he's seen shit.
Yeah, well, because it's that idea of Owen Grady is a war vet who just, and I've talked about this before, he's like a Werner Herzog character. He's just like a war vet who now just wants to hang out with his birds, you know. like Chris Pratt, just Owen Grady wants to be left alone. He doesn't like people. He's kind of got the cynicism of like a Malcolm, but he doesn't have the social skills or the charm.
Like Grant.
And yes. Yeah. And so I think in a way, Chris Pratt initially for me was miscast because I think he's just too charming. And so I feel like in a way that it doesn't make sense for the character.
For the character,
whereas
like
Jason Clarke, he would be really good at making that character like kind of cool, but still unlikable in a way that could still make him kind of attractive in a way too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Man, that's brilliant.
Thank you. I was like, who am I thinking of? Because I always confuse Jason Clarke with Joel Edgerton, who I also think would be cool. But I was typing in Joel Edgerton to see if I was thinking of the right guy. And it's like, that is not who I'm thinking of. And then I'm like, I know he's in Planet of the Apes. I know he's in Planet of the Apes. I'm like, Jason Clarke, there it is.
Yeah.
That's him. That's the one.
Ugh.
So that's my... if that's my con.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and I think Fallen Kingdom, they just kind of made him more of a strong silent type, which I think actually works for the character.
Yeah, where it's I think it's good for Chris Pratt's growth too, as an actor.
Well, I mean...
I'm going to coach him. I'm really good at this.
Well, I mean, it's like that character, he's not really along for the ride per se, but he isn't necessarily invested in the bigger picture. And I think that works... because I think he is actually almost, as far as like on-screen couples or partners go, I think he really is there to be supportive of Claire's bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's like being supportive of your partner's job or their career. Like, I think Chris Pratt's or Owen Grady's there to like, well, Claire really believes in this thing, so I'm going to sort of, what can I do to really like help her along with her mission?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think by having him not be like, cynical, pretending to know more than everybody, because he doesn't in Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He's really... like a velociraptor guy. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. He has this one little thing that he's there to do, But yeah, I think it was so much better for the character. And I generally do think Owen Grady has a lot more, by saying less, I think he's actually more interesting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And I think watching Fallen Kingdom, I just like, I wish there was more island time.
Yeah.
I'm okay with, yeah, I'm okay with it being volcano eaten. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not, I mean, it's sad because it's like, it's the island, but it's also like, if they're going to have it go, that's the way it should go. I just wish that there is like a little bit more time in the movie of them being on it, like with the dinosaurs. Not like there are plenty of dinosaurs. I'm super happy. Like, that's the best part of the movie, hands down, is the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I wish that there was like a little bit more storyline on the island versus like, I don't know. I just, it kind of lost me when they were, I don't know. When I think of it in a different way, like, it's almost more of a monster movie than a Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, because the animals are in houses, in boats. Yes. They're in.
And so when I think of it like that, then it puts a completely different twist on it. I'm like, oh, I don't have to think of this or compare it to the original because it's not that.
Yeah.
This is something else. So.
Oh, totally. Well, yeah, because even, you know, people compare it to Lost World. But Lost World is, I mean, I think the tonal comparisons are fine and a little bit of structural stuff. But like, Lost World, in a way, has more of the vistas and the exploration element, where there really isn't an exploration element in Fallen Kingdom, because they literally just have to find the dinos, get them out, get to the island. You know, so there's no like.
Yeah. It's completely different. Yeah. I think, and my brother watched it too. Like, he just watched it recently, and he had the same opinion that it wasn't his favorite. Like, he's like, I mean, the way that everybody's like, it's not like the original, but he said that it does a really good job, a much better job than maybe most of them, in that it sets it up for a new movie that you really want to see.
Yes. Well, I was actually, that just was, because to me, in a way, some of the best parts of the movie is that little end montage sequence with Malcolm. It's
absolutely,
it's the most poetic thing in Jurassic Park, other than maybe the Brachiosaurus. I mean, that's my favorite scene in the entire, all of these movies and in the original, is the Brachiosaurus entrance in Jurassic Park. But, you know, and it's operating very differently, but this, the poetic montage and the dinosaurs kind of like, and the technology and all that stuff kind of just slowly like going their own separate way. You're just like, because again, with, like, the difference between the ending of Jurassic World is like fine, but it's like, it's very kind of, okay.
Yeah. The end of like every movie.
Yeah.
They're all together.
Yeah. Whereas like Fallen Kingdom, it's like, holy shit.
Like, something is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so evocative of like, anything can happen kind of thing, in a way. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I just recently learned that they were going to put the Spinosaurus in Fallen Kingdom, so that instead of when the
two. That would be great.
And so instead of Rexy fighting a Carnotaurus, it would have been a Spinosaurus.
That would be a good callback.
But it's such a random callback to like the third Jurassic Park. Like, there'd be like us being like, woo! I would know. And everyone else is like, why is that a thing?
It's a cool dinosaur.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you don't need any like underlying reason. It's just a cool dinosaur fight. But I don't know. Yeah. Spinosaurus is whatever.
You know. Yeah, I think that was one of my cousins. I have very close to my family, so I talk about him a lot. Sorry. But
No.
was one of his favorites, I think.
He loved the Spinosaurus.
I love the Spinosaurus.
I mean, it was very like 2001, like, like extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's got a mohawk.
Yeah, it's got a mohawk. It's got like beefy, muscly arms.
It's red.
Yeah, that's true. It's got red. It's like, it's got flames on the side, you know? Like, sweet. It's like if Guy Fieri worked out more or something, you know? Actually, Guy Fieri is a very nice person, so he wouldn't.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, he'd be a long boy, but I think he'd be like a cool long boy with like
maybe a Stegosaurus, right? He's got the spikes. And
he'd be a Stegosaurus with like frosted tips. Can you imagine a Stegosaurus, a guy
like the tip? It would look like the Halloween candy corn.
Oh,
because like the spikes would just have like white on the tip.
Yeah. Oh, now I want to see a Stegosaurus that looks like a Guy Fieragosaurus.
Oh my gosh. The Italian, he loves spaghetti.
Yeah. Okay, just a few more. These are the really dumb ones. Great. So they just get dumber as it goes along.
Yes, I like it.
Well, you already answered my question. You wouldn't go to Jurassic Park. You mentioned that earlier.
I would, but I wouldn't advocate for it. I wouldn't bring dinosaurs back for a theme park. But if there was already a theme park that I had no say in, go.
All right. I appreciate the distinction. But say you went through this experience, you experienced dinosaurs, something like Jurassic Park happens. Do you think you would still like dinosaurs? Or do you think that would like you would you would you be traumatized or would you be traumatized by it?
I imagine I would probably be traumatized, but I think that it would also make me respect them a lot more.
Oh, I like that. That's a good answer. Would you ever, if you had the power to send the U.S. military to rescue your ex stuck on an island of dinosaurs, would you do that?
Yes. Just because I would be able to tell him, look at all the power I have, and I've chosen it to save you.
That's brilliant.
You jerk.
Yeah, it makes them feel bad. They're like, oh, I wish I would have been eating my dinosaurs. Yeah, it would have been less humiliating.
I'm married now. Then my ex would have been like, oh, really blew that one.
Yeah, that's brilliant. if you could be killed by a dinosaur, which one and how would you go?
Dilophosaurus.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just love the books. I am so gross. I just like love horrible things. In the book, it's so grotesque the way that it's done, but he's also paralyzed, so he can't see anything.
Well, yeah, how does he do it?
But you're also, yeah. Oh, how does he do it?
Yeah, how does he
do it? The Dilophosaurus paralyzes him, so he's still alive, and then the Dilophosaurus slashes him open and eats his guts.
The scene of him talking about the slippery entrail, like of his own intestines,
yep.
Like has stayed with me.
Yeah. Well, and that's also kind of in the movie when Grant is like scaring the shit out of that kid where he's like, the velociraptor is going to slice you open and eat you alive, because that actually happens to Nidri in the book, but with the Dilophosaurus. But I like the idea of being paralyzed, so I can't really feel it, but I can still like, I don't know.
Experience it.
This is how I'm going, and it's an amazing way to go.
Yeah, really go out with a bang.
Yeah.
So if you're Macy, you got that button right there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saving the dinosaurs or are you not saving the dinosaurs?
I feel like I'd be so torn. I would be the Claire in that situation. If I was Macy, yes, I would click the button. I would let him go. No. Yeah, she clicks a button. She lets him go. Yeah. Yeah, I would.
The Fallen Kingdom doesn't end with all the dinosaurs just suffocating.
No, but I can remember
what
the button,
a horrible
like,
movie that would
like,
be.
Releases the door, or keeps it locked.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No, I think I would be more like pro dinosaur. Like, there, it's any like more like reminiscing again, Planet of the Apes is like, if something's going to happen to humanity, something's going to happen to humanity. Maybe I'll be lucky enough to make it. Maybe I won't. But I would rather like these animals, who maybe shouldn't exist, but they do now because we did it. Like, they have every right. So,
yeah,
I would free him.
Push that button. This has been so amazing. Thanks, Abigail. I could keep talking. Well, I'll have to have you back on again. Like next time you're out, we can just keep making.
Yeah, I'll probably be about a year from now. I try to come out on my birthday.
Nice. So. Wait, when was your birthday?
July 26th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks. Man, I knew I was going to forget it. It's like my husband and I came out right after he proposed to me last year.
Okay.
Didn't even know that the ride was closing. So we were there like one of the last.
Yeah.
It closed like
September
a maybe.
3rd
yeah. A month
like
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to ride it before and I didn't even know. Just lucked out.
Well, now you get to ride the new ride.
Yep.
If you could have a dinosaur in your life, like your everyday life, what purpose would they serve? Yeah.
Well, I think the most, attainable one would probably be a compy. And it could be like a pet / you can help me compost.
Oh, right? That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I like to imagine I'd have like a nice yard with like five or six compies. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. And they would,
like little chickens.
They would play with, just listen to the Percast episode with Abigail. Dr.
They would play
Ellie.
With my dog, Dr. Ellie Saller.
And Arya, your cat. Uh-huh. So they could just hang out with the compies and yeah. I mean, because the dinosaurs are birds / reptiles. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like the mammals would like, they wouldn't be too scared of the.
No. And if we got them when they were little, why not? You know, or alternatively, maybe a Pachycephalosaurus just because they're my favorite. There would be no other reason. Yeah, that's it.
I think that's.
Love them. Take them for a walk, like on a leash. Can you imagine?
And like you just send them to chase things and they just ram into stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. I can hit my ex's house.
Oh, you saved
actually,
him.
Actually, I have no grudge against my ex. He's very kind.
It's like, you're like, I saved you from the dinosaurs. Now I'm going to humiliate you more with having dinosaurs hit your house.
Yep.
It's perfect. Thanks, Abigail.
Thanks.
Thank you again, Abigail, so much for chatting with me. It's a good moment to mention that this interview, along with a few others, sprinkled throughout See Jurassic Rights Return at the end of 2023, recorded at this point as far back as 2019.
These conversations were so great, and I did not and do not want them to be lost in the COVID haze over these last 5 years, because they really are special to me, and I want you to hear them too. Honestly, I'm more surprised and delighted at how evergreen they really are. But I was dying to know what Abigail thought of Jurassic World Dominion, so I bugged her to send us her thoughts.
Hello. Hi, Steven. Hi, everybody. It has been, God, like, I want to say like 5 years since we recorded. And since then, Jurassic Park Dominion has come out and I have seen it and I did love it. Did I think that it was a good movie? Not really. Did I enjoy every second of it? Yes, I did. It was so fun. I saw it in theaters twice. I loved the new characters. I still hate Owen. I still think Jason Clark would have elevated that role. Oh, what else? I don't know. I just loved seeing the original three in there, and I think they had fun. I don't think that this movie was supposed to be like a beautiful work of art. I think it was full nostalgia, and I totally bought into it. I loved it. Thanks so much for listening to me, Gab.
Jurassic World Dominion is fun. Thanks, Abigail, and thank you for listening. Looking forward to sharing all the upcoming episodes, planned and unplanned, with you. Follow Abigail at Abigail E. Penner on most things, Stephen Ray Morris on all things to follow me, and if you feel like fighting the algorithm gods with me, please support the show by sharing the post on social, commenting, and consider donating a dollar or five to me on Patreon. Patreon.com/seejurassicright to keep the power on in this park. Hold on to your butts, and I'll see you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.